Welcome along to this week's Mark Landon's Bets Club in association with freesupertips.com for your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. It's the best place, of course, for your weekend football betting tips and advice as Mark talks you through all of his suggestions for the weekend's action. Before we get into the Premier League at the weekend, Mark, let's have a look back at how the Champions League went in midweek. Starting off, of course, with the two English sides in action. What did you make of both Arsenal and Manchester City? And do you think they're well placed to go through still?
Certainly think, Warren, from Man City's point of view, yeah, that they are. Obviously, they were, twice in a very strong position in the game, in leading. And so maybe Pep Guardiola's side kicking themselves that they haven't sort of taken a lead back to the Etihad. But a draw was the result they got last year. And then they walloped Real Madrid at home. Don't expect it to be quite as easy this time around. Real Madrid, I think, are a better side than they were last season. But Tuameni, he's out, suspended. And City still look the better side to me over the 90 minutes. I thought Real Madrid on the counter-attack were lively. And from City's point of view, they'll be hoping Kyle Walker's fit to return because it was down that right-hand side, wasn't it, for City that they had their issues with Vinny Jr. and also Rodrigo. But overall, it's not a bad result for Manchester City. In terms of Arsenal, that was a surprise to me that they didn't manage to beat Bayern at home. Bayern kind of having a lot of problems domestically, but showed up on the night, caused Arsenal more problems than, a whole stack of Premier League teams have managed in recent months. And draw felt about right, I think, from that game. And yeah, it looks pretty tight to me. Bayern at home will now fancy their chances, but Arsenal have shown this season they went to the Etihad, didn't they? Got that draw. They went to Anfield and got a draw. So I don't think all is lost for the Gunners, and still wouldn't be that surprised if it was an all English semi-final.
I think there'll be more than one Arsenal fan ruin the look, the fact that it was Serge Gnabry and also Harry Kane, of course, that got on the score sheet. But yeah, still another opportunity in the second leg. Let's just quickly touch upon Wednesday evening's games as well, Matt. I mean, a big win for Barcelona in Paris, which I'm sure would have surprised many.
Yeah, Rafinha scored one great goal and was involved in everything that Barcelona did well. I was surprised that they managed to get that victory. I thought Paris at home definitely didn't expect them to lose the game. Probably thought they'd go on and win it. So, yeah, a huge victory for Barcelona. Magnificent pass from Pedri for that second goal that Rafinha scored. PSG, I mentioned earlier about sort of teams kicking themselves. PSG, probably the same because a 2-1 up, they looked in complete control of that game, creating chances. Don't think the game's dead. These are not two perfect sides. I think it'll be another, goals at both ends next week. I was going to say at the Nou Camp. Actually, the fact that it's not at the Nou Camp and in the Olympic Stadium makes this an easier opportunity, I think, for Paris to get back into the game. Nowhere near the same sort of intimidation as what Paris would have faced if they were going to the Nou Camp. So all to play for. It's advantage Barcelona. Got some brilliant youngsters, haven't they, coming through? 16-year-old on the wing, 17-year-old at centre-half. I mean, Pedri was like a veteran when he came on. And, what a pass. I would just also add Donnarumma did not cover himself in glory for, I don't think, any of the three goals. The second one, he gives it away cheap possession. The third one, it's about 2 yards in front of him inside the six-yard box. He should be coming to get that. And the first goal, tiny bit flappy for me.
And of course, the other quarter-final, Atletico Madrid 2-1 up against Borussia Dortmund. And those two seem to have kind of swapped patterns because in the past, Atletico would have been a team who would kind of shut up shop, try and nick a goal here or there. Borussia Dortmund would be a team flying forward in numbers. And it seems to have turned the tables. But Atletico lead taken to Germany in the second leg. How do you see that one going?
I'm going to go for Dortmund to complete the comeback. I thought at 2-0, it was tie over, really. Expected Atletico to shut up shop and, if anything, maybe nick a third on the counter-attack. The fact that Haller has scored and sort of halved the deficit, they hit the woodwork twice in the second half, including Julian Brandt with the penultimate kick of the game. Dortmund will fancy their chances at home. And Atletico, the difference between Atletico at the Wanda Metropolitano and away from home, you saw it in the last round against Inter. Barely had a kick at San Siro, and they were very good at home. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised here if the Germans sort of completed the comeback, which would be bad news for Premier League coefficient followers, of course.
Yeah, and we'll not get into that because we could be here all day trying to explain how that works, to be honest. But yeah, that's the Champions League. Plenty to look forward to, of course, in the second legs. We're going to turn our attentions now to the Premier League this weekend. Well, let's start off, Mark, with the big match of the week. It is Arsenal against Aston Villa at the Emirates. We'll get Mark's thoughts in a moment in terms of how he sees this one going. In terms of the prices, Arsenal around 2-7 to claim the 3 points, the draw 19-4, and Villa around 9-1, which is a huge price when you consider how they've played at times this season. But they're a very unpredictable team at the moment, Mark.
They are Aston Villa. No doubt that they've got worse as the season's gone on, particularly defensively. Maybe no coincidence that Kamara has been out, and since then they haven't been able to protect that defence, and the high line that was so effective earlier on in the season has been more penetrable, if that's finally get that one out. Yeah, so it's been easier to penetrate. That's a better way of saying it. That Villa higher line in sort of the last couple of months. Douglas Luiz is out. Arsenal have had 2 days extra rest. There's more riding on it for Arsenal. I still think there is because while Champions League and it is a big deal for Aston Villa, as we referenced earlier on, their coefficient could take that down to fifth place. And if it does, I think that Villa and Spurs have already got enough in the bag for sort of fourth and fifth, respectively. For Arsenal, they're top of the table. They've got this opportunity now. It's in their hands to win the Premier League. So the game feels bigger for Arsenal. And on the face of it, everything is in place. But I agree with you, just in terms of the odds there, like, it's eye-catching, I think, just how big Aston Villa are, or probably more likely how short Arsenal are to win this game. The bookmakers have not missed anything that we've just spoken about as to sort of Aston Villa's problems going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk more about Arsenal in a moment or so's time, but just sticking with Villa for the moment, because we are recording this before their Europa Conference League game on Thursday, but will they see this as a real big missed opportunity? I know at the start of the season, Mark, not many people would have tipped Villa for a top four finish. They'd have been expecting them to do well under Unai Emery, but probably not top four. But because they got themselves in such a strong position and now things are starting to slip, you feel like this is a missed chance, especially with the likes of Manchester United and Chelsea not performing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I wouldn't give up on fourth just yet. I mean, they've got an easier run in than Tottenham, this game apart. The Spurs have still got to play all of the top three as an example. So it's definitely not all over for Aston Villa. But I know what you mean. Like Unai Emery, of course, going back to the Emirates, I'm sure he'd love to sort of serve it up to the Gunners, given that he will feel he was unfairly treated in his pretty short tenure, really, at the Emirates. There was a sort of bigger opportunity a couple of months ago. But at that time, you know, Aston Villa were not having as many injuries, and there were a lot of teams around them that were picking up lots. Now, and I don't want to be unfair to Villa, because Tyrone Mings and Buendia went down right at the start of the season. But you could almost name that sort of starting 11 or sort of 9 or 10 of their players every week, and they were, that they were playing very well, and everybody knew their jobs. In the last couple of months, the injuries that had impacted, say, Tottenham earlier on in the season and are still impacting Manchester United, they've now hit Villa. And then you throw in Europa League Europa Conference League, rather, and it just becomes a different ballgame. And it is hard for teams that are not used to playing the Thursday, Sunday, or midweek, weekend rotation, and then you know Watkins hasn't been fully fit, so I think there are reasons as to why Villa have slowed down. And the Kamara injury was a massive blow. Then McGinn stupidly got himself sent off and was serving a chunky suspension. So I'm going to give Villa a slight pass. It sounds like you're not, and you know, you want them to sort of really grab this golden opportunity. I think the way it's looking, and we're speaking before Thursday, the odds are in the favour of fifth being good enough. And you know, even if Villa do finish fifth, I mean, that's a great season from where Aston Villa were.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. In terms of Arsenal, how much of a psychological lift do we think it's going to be for Mikel Arteta and his side to go back to the top of the table last week? Probably sat watching that Liverpool game at Manchester United for long periods thinking it wasn't going to happen. But of course, they do have the advantage now with that goal difference.
Yeah, I mean, you want to have things in your own hands, don't you? I know it sounds cliche, but when you get to... And there's some people that say, oh, it's better to chase. Like, not when you're in sort of mid-April. You know, you want to be on top. And it's, you know, it's in your hands now, isn't it? You know, so Arsenal know if they win every game, I don't think they will win every game, then the title is almost certainly going to end up in North London at the end of the campaign. So this is all they could have wanted. But they're... Again, I'm going to go into sort of Sky Sports cliche mode here. I still think there'll be plenty of twists and turns before the season is out. If you have a look at the odds, in terms of the teams finishing perfectly, like, they're all big prices. I think it's between sort of 5 and 10 to 1 to win every game from now until the end of the season individually. So, you know, you stick that in a sort of treble. The chances of Arsenal, City and Liverpool going perfect from here on out are just massively overestimated in sort of the general football public. There will be drop points, I'm sure of that, between now and the end of the season. But you'd rather be in Arsenal's position than anybody else's.
And talking about drop points, can you see it happening on Sunday?
Well, in terms of a best bet, look, prices dictate bets. So, you know, if I was on like a normal podcast and you said, like, what's your prediction for this game? I'd say, well, a home win. But I, as we've alluded to a couple of times already, I just think the price is too big. So I'm going to go for Aston Villa or draw double chance. Look, the Thursday-Sunday rhythm isn't ideal. Douglas Luiz being suspended is bad news. But then I just look at the price of what Arsenal are to beat Aston Villa and what Liverpool are to beat Crystal Palace. And there's not that much in it. And I mean, you'd much rather play Crystal Palace than Aston Villa. And if you are looking for any sort of chinks in that Arsenal armour, they've dropped points at home to Tottenham, to West Ham and Fulham. You know, they've all avoided defeat. Brentford, it was a very late winner. That was only last month, wasn't it? Brentford nearly took a point at the Emirates. Bayern Munich did manage to get a draw there. Now, Aston Villa probably fall somewhere in between Bayern Munich and Brentford in terms of their ability. A lot of reasons to not fancy Aston Villa, but at the prices, I'm just going to give them a chance. And it might be like this for the rest of the season, where the title challenges just go off stupidly short and you just have to oppose them. And if Arsenal win, I'm not going to be surprised. They're probably going to win, but at the odds, take them on.
It does seem a big price. It does indeed. The big game of the weekend then, Arsenal against Aston Villa on Sunday. Time now to look ahead to the rest of the Premier League action. We'll start off with the early kickoff on Saturday, a 12:30 start at St James's Park. There's been a couple of these of late. The last one, of course, was an absolute cracker against West Ham when Newcastle came from behind to win 4-3. They've got Tottenham this week, which suggests more goals at St James's. Newcastle around 17-10 to win. Tottenham 13-10 and a draw around 3-1. What are you thinking here, Mark?
I'm thinking that Newcastle shouldn't be outsiders, so I'm going for Newcastle draw no bet. I think it's around about 21-20. They've only had three home defeats at St James's this season in the Premier League. Two of those were to Liverpool and Manchester City, so easily forgiven. Tottenham, for their part, yes, they're fourth and they've got it in their own hands now in terms of the Champions League, but we spoke about their difficult running, and this is not an easy game at all. They've only won two of their last nine away games. Didn't show up great at West Ham in their recent 1-1 draw. They were thumped at Fulham before that. So I can see it being an intimidating atmosphere. You might remember the reverse fixture that Spurs won convincingly. There was some real bad blood at the end between Vicario and Callum Wilson. Newcastle still going for European football. We don't know how many places that's going to go down this season, but it's probably going to be more than normal. And I just think at the prices, I'd rather be on Newcastle, but you're absolutely right about goals. Yeah, I think it'd be very high scoring.
Let's look at the 3 o'clock games now in the Premier League. Four in total, and we'll start off with the game between Brentford and Sheffield United. We seem to say this every week, Mark, in terms of particularly probably these two teams, but mainly Sheffield United. It has to be a must-win, you feel, if they're going to have any chance of staying up. But probably more important on the face of things for Brentford, because Sheffield United stuck at the bottom of the table. Brentford 4-9 to win this game. The Blades 6-1. The draw around 7-2. Can you see anything other than a home win?
I'm going to go for a Brentford win and over 2.5 goals to try to get a bit more juice in that price. Now, Brentford haven't won since February the 10th. So I can see you could make a case for saying Brentford won't win the game. But, none of them games were as easy as Sheffield United at home. And let's be honest about that. And they're playing better, I think, recently. The draw against Man United, I mean, I've absolutely no idea how they didn't win that game. They drew with Brighton, they drew with Aston Villa. So I can see some sort of recovery in their performances in recent weeks that just wasn't there when they had the stack of injuries earlier on in the campaign. Sheffield United, 12 of their 13 games in 2024 have been over 2.5 goals. You mentioned they've got to go for it. So I can see them being attacking, but probably losing to Brentford.
Burnley, another team, of course, rooted towards the bottom end of the table. And they face, keep saying it, a must-win game against Brighton at Turf Moor on Saturday. Can we give any hope to Vincent Kompany's travelling Burnley fans? I wonder, they are 12-5 around that to win and collect the 3 points. The draw 14-5 and Brighton around evens. What's your thoughts on this game, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, Burnley at home, I think, here are just too big. Look, Brighton scored 3 goals in their last 6 league games, and everyone keeps on going on sort of how good their football is. There's something broken at Albion at the moment, just with their attacking play. They've had some hard games, admittedly, but it's just not clicking quite like it was last season. They lost, top talent in the summer, and maybe the long season has caught up with them as well. Yeah, Burnley is, Burnley will go down. You're saying must win for them. I think even if they do win, that they'll be relegated. But at the prices, I give them a fair old chance of winning this game. Against Everton, they were the masters of their own downfall. Sloppy pass out from the goalkeeper, and it was a fluky goal as well that cost them Everton. But before that, they had shown signs of actually starting to get their act together, hadn't they? So, I'm just going to give them a chance. And the game means more to them than Brighton. They've still got an outside shot of Europe, but don't seem to be desperate for it. And, De Zerbi hasn't committed his future to the club either. So, it might be a team to take on in the last few weeks of the season, weary seagulls.
Manchester City against Luton. For those of us that are old enough, we remember this as a relegation battle where Luton stayed up on the final game of the season. Yeah, David Pleat running on the pitch, Raddy Antich with the goal, but a very different story these days. David versus Goliath, you could say. City will be as short around about 1-10. I've seen some bookmakers offering 33-1 on Luton to claim the 3 points. The draw around 10-1. The only thing I could say about this, probably, Mark, before your tip, is that there's almost certainly going to be goals.
Yeah, and they'll almost certainly be in the back of the Luton net as well. You say it's Man City v Luton. I think it might be Man City B versus Luton. Arsenal made a number of changes, didn't they, when they played Luton sort of in that midweek game a couple of weeks ago. Rodri was saying how sort of knackered he was, so I'd imagine he'd be given a rest. And there'll be plenty of other City players given the afternoon off, with Real Madrid to come in the midweek in the Champions League. I'm going to go for Julian Alvarez to score first at around about 5-1, playing on that thought that maybe Haaland will be among those given a breather. He hasn't scored a goal, actually, in the Premier League since the end of January, Alvarez, having started the season so well. But he did score at home to Copenhagen in the Champions League. And there's even more, and that was a mismatch, and there's even more of a mismatch here. So, yeah, not a great betting heat, as you mentioned, with Luton at 33-1 and City 10s on and shorter in places. But maybe Alvarez, first goal scorer. I would say about Luton, Dave, also, we talk about injuries. They've had so many players out recently. I mean, they were bringing on players I'd forgotten were even at the club. I didn't even know they were there when I watched them a few weeks ago at Spurs. So they're not a team that can carry injuries, and certainly not away to Man City. So, I mean, this will be comfortable, whatever team City put out.
Yeah, I covered Luton last week and their win over Bournemouth. They were second best for two-thirds of that game, and you just have to give them credit the way that they hang on in there. And like you say, missing key players as well. It's crucial for a squad of their thinness, shall we say. The fourth and final 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday is at the City Ground, Nottingham Forest against Wolves. Wolves obviously have been in a run of form with following that cup defeat from Coventry, really, has seen them kind of dip in the league. Forest now with that points deduction recently, only out of the bottom three on goal difference. The home team around about 23-20 to win this game. The draw 12-5, and Wolves are around 12-5. How do you see this one going, Mark?
Yeah, I'm not backing Nottingham Forest at 23-20 to win a Premier League game. I mean, they've only won two of their last 17 matches in all competitions. There's more riding on the game for Forest, but I'm going to go for Wolves plus 0.25 on the Asian handicap. The Asian handicap can scare off some novice punters, but essentially half of your bet here is on Wolves draw no bet, and half of it is on Wolves or draw double chance. And so you will make a small profit if Wolves draw the game. And you're absolutely right about Wolves' form tailing off. And their only one win in six has coincided with all of the injuries that they've had. But yeah, Cunha was off the bench against West Ham, and it was a freak defeat to the Hammers. You know, Ward-Prowse is good at set pieces, but, you know, scoring a corner like that, you know, is not going to happen every week. Nuno against his former club. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a sort of Nuno ball from both teams. It was a low scoring game. Draws a big runner. And I'll go for Wolves to avoid defeat in this one.
Yeah, I was looking at a couple of bits of stats on this game earlier, and the last three meetings have finished 1-1 between the two sides. So shows you kind of how evenly matched they've been. And the final game on Saturday is at 5:30 at the Vitality Stadium, where Bournemouth play host to Manchester United. Again, probably two of the most unpredictable teams in the league at the moment, Mark. Especially, you would say, Manchester United.
I mean, unpredictable in terms of you can't sort of get a gauge on the result. I think performance-wise, they're completely predictable, and they've been absolutely terrible for most of the season, really. I mean, if you have a look at Man United's XG is sort of absolutely like horrendous. Their expected goal difference, only four teams are worse in the whole league. That's the three that you'd expect that, you know, are sort of stuck in the relegation zone. Plus West Ham, who I think the way that they play, probably never going to be great side on XG. And for Erik ten Hag to say that, you know, this is part of the plan, absolute nonsense. I mean, if this is like the how they managed to get the draw against Brentford and then that result they got against Liverpool, I just never know.
It was a strange thing that got highlighted as well, Mark, is that following the game with Brentford and with Liverpool, Ten Hag said, all we're lacking really is getting over the line. And I just find that incredible.
Yeah, the only point you can say is that they've got a lot. You know, this theme of the pod here, really. They've got a lot of injuries, particularly defensively. But this wasn't a team that was defending well, even when they did have kind of the bigger names in there. And like the positions of their midfielders, Gary Neville couldn't believe it, could he, against Liverpool? He was sort of screaming in that first half. It's like basic under 11, under 12 stuff. Like the midfielders would... You just don't go ahead of the throw-in. Like, you are behind. So easy to drag them out of position. And no doubt in my mind that Bournemouth have got a better coach in Iraola than what Manchester United have in Ten Hag. I do think, because of the way United play, it's going to be an absolutely chaotic game. it shows how bad United are that Bournemouth are favourites to win. I'm going to go for Bournemouth to win 3-2. They've won four of their last six games. And, you know, United have just been involved in these basketball-style games for far too long now. I mean, 548 shots against them. That is not befitting of a sort of an established Premier League side. It's the second worst in the whole division, and only seven fewer than Sheffield United. And Ten Hag thinks it's part of the plan. I'm baffled by it.
Yeah. No, I think we all are, to be honest, Mark. Just to reiterate in terms of the prices for that 5:30 game, Bournemouth around 11-8 to claim the victory, Manchester United 17-10, and the draw 14-5. We'll move on now to Sunday's Premier League games. We've already, of course, looked at Arsenal against Aston Villa. So there are two 2 o'clock games to preview as well. Starting off at Anfield, where Mark, Liverpool will look to bounce back from that frustrating draw at Old Trafford when they play host to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, we're speaking before their game against Atalanta on the Thursday, expecting Jurgen Klopp to rotate some of his players. But the good news for Klopp is that a lot of the kind of injured players are either going to return or are very close to returning. And you know, Alisson and Trent Alexander-Arnold among them. That will be a big boost for Liverpool. Yeah, I mean, it's just so frustrating. I'm not a Liverpool fan, so you couldn't really care less. But I mean, it's, you know, if you were to sort of to chuck away those points at Old Trafford when they were there for the taking, Manchester United, and they've ended up with a draw. It might be an important draw come the end of the season. Then you might look back and think, oh, wow, you know, that was a vital penalty from Mohamed Salah. But game should have been over long before that. I did wonder, Warren, you are a Liverpool fan, right? Liverpool have got a 9-goal difference, sort of worse than Arsenal at the moment. Do you think that they'll be looking at that and seeing Palace as an opportunity to maybe, I don't know, get that down to a more manageable total over the rest of the campaign? Or just win the game?
I think, obviously, first and foremost, win the game. I think it's ironic that it's Palace, when you bear in mind that under Brendan Rodgers, when they were going for the title a few years ago, 3-0 at one stage at Selhurst Park, going for goal difference improvement there against City. And of course, it came back to backfire, basically, in the 3-3 draw.
Getting the ball out of the net, weren't they? 3-0.
Exactly. So I think there is a, you know, they probably have one thought in their mind, first and foremost, is win the game and then see where they go from there. I mean, I don't think these days, yes, there's been a change of manager with Palace, but I don't necessarily think they're one of those teams that you think ordinarily, yeah, let's knock 6 or 7 past them. It's not like a Sheffield United or even a Burnley on occasions like that. I think it's Liverpool, first and foremost, getting the win and then seeing where they go from there. They're 2-9 to claim the victory. The draw, 6-1. Palace, as big as 10-1. What are you thinking in terms of your tip here, Mark?
Second half to be the highest scoring at 21-20. I'm not saying they're going to go for it and the goal difference, but I don't think they'll stop if they get a couple of goals up. Let's put it that way. And I don't know if you've noticed, but Crystal Palace have not been doing very well in sort of defensively in the latter stages of games. 5 of their 7 since Hodgson left have seen more second half goals. And we'll get to it a bit later on with one of my other bets, but they're conceding a lot of late goals. And Glasner, as is typical of all new sort of incoming managers, was bemoaning the fitness of the Palace players. And you do, I suppose, have to question whether they've got the sort of abilities to be able to sort of press higher and sort of more than what they did under Hodgson, where it was all about the low block.
Yeah, I can understand your thinking there in terms of both Liverpool scoring late goals and Palace conceding them late on. The other 2 o'clock game on Sunday sees West Ham up against Fulham. And in terms of the prices, the Hammers around 13-10 to claim the victory. The draw 13-5 and Fulham 19-10. And just to reiterate, we are, of course, recording this before West Ham are in action in the Europa League against Bayer Leverkusen on Thursday. I sense these days that David Moyes would probably prefer the away games rather than the home games because he's getting a little bit of pressure put on him in terms of his position, Mark. Is this a game that they should be concerned about?
It is amazing, isn't it? Because, yeah, West Ham are in as we speak, are in a great position. They might they might qualify again for Europe next season. They're in the quarterfinal of the Europa League. They won the Conference League last season. And we're talking about like Moyes ball not being to the liking of the Hammers faithful or a section of the West Ham supporters. The argument against that is that they've now got Paquetá, Kudos and Bowen in the team. And those are three like top Premier League attacking players. And, you know, to get the best out of them, you just like to see them have more of the ball. And so I can see both sides of the argument. I'm going to go for a draw in this game. I haven't got a strong opinion on it. Never know what you're going to get from Fulham. Just can't work them out. I'm going to give up actually trying to. West Ham, this is sandwiched between two huge games against Leverkusen. Bowen is out of the first game on Thursday night. So remains to be seen whether he plays. Moyes might rest another couple. So I just think at this stage, a draw is probably the safest bet.
And we do have a Monday night football to look forward to in the Premier League this week as well, because Chelsea face Everton at Stamford Bridge in an 8 o'clock kickoff. And the prices, Chelsea around about 4-6 to claim the 3 points. Everton as big as 4-1 and the draw 3-1. Can you make a case for Sean Dyche's men, or do we think this is Chelsea's game to win, Mark?
I think it's Chelsea's game to win. I mean, the case for Sean Dyche's side is that, you know, it's Chelsea and they find ways of sort of not winning games and have done all season. But I actually thought the four prices you mentioned there were fair enough about Chelsea. They're unbeaten in 90 minutes in their last 11, scored at least two in each of their last seven. They've won four of their last five at home as well. So they are a team that's becoming more reliable, at least at Stamford Bridge. Obviously, chucked away another 2 points late on at Sheffield United on Sunday. And Everton, since we last spoke, have obviously had another points deduction. I mean, it's getting very messy, isn't it, down the bottom there, because likely that this appeal, you know, to not be heard until the end of the season. And that's just not where you want to be, really, to not know which three teams are going to be relegated after the final kick of the season. I don't like that one little bit. It would do the Premier League a massive favour if sort of Everton could get themselves out of trouble. They might do it, but I don't think it'll be in this game.
OK, well, that's Mark's thoughts on all of the Premier League action at the weekend. He'll be back shortly with his Bet Builder treble and nap for the weekend's action as well. But we're going to turn our attentions now to the EFL and discuss the Championship, League One and League Two with our EFL expert, Tom McGarry.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets.
Well, we're going to talk all things EFL now as we're joined by Tom McGarry to look through his betting tips over the Championship, League One and League Two this weekend. And we'll start, as ever, Tom, with a team in focus. And you've gone for arguably the team in form in League Two at the moment.
Yeah, not only the team in form in League Two, but arguably the entire EFL. That's Doncaster Rovers under Grant McCann. They had such a poor start to the season. I think at the beginning of the campaign in the summer before a ball was kicked, a lot of people would have been talking Doncaster up as potential promotion contenders, but they had such an awful start and that continued throughout the autumn into the winter. It looked like they were going to be fighting a relegation battle rather than challenging for promotion. But since February, wow, they've hit some of form. They've been absolutely fantastic. They've only lost one of their last 14. They've won seven matches in a row, beating Walsall most recently in the week 2-1. That was actually the first time in five games as well. They've even conceded a goal. They're absolutely flying at the moment. If the league season in League Two had started on February the 1st, they'd be top of the table. Not only would they be top, they'd be 6 points clear as well. All that being said, they're still not in the playoff places. They're 10th with four games left to play. Only 4 points outside the top six, though. And I think I've got a sneaky suspicion it could be a really good end to the season for Doncaster, and they could end up gate-crashing that top seven. Looking at their fixtures coming up between now and the end of the regular season. They've got back-to-back home games. Accrington Stanley this weekend, they're badly out of form. Barrow are in the playoff places, but have lost their last two and are maybe stuttering slightly. Then they go away to relegation threatened Colchester on the penultimate weekend before finishing up with another away game against a Gillingham side that potentially may have very little to play for. Doncaster will be hoping that's not the case for them, but I can see them getting into the top seven. And once they're there, nobody's going to want to face them. That would arguably be the favourites going into the playoffs if they can continue on their current trend.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Dan Charles saying on Betts Club a few months ago, Tom, that he'd seen Doncaster and said that they were a far better team than the league position suggested. They played against Everton in the EFL Cup earlier in the season and gave them some issues in that game as well. And they're on an absolutely cracking run of form at the moment. And how often do we hear people say that the informed team going into the playoffs are the one to watch?
Absolutely. And if Doncaster sneak in there, it would probably be in seventh place. They may end up facing someone in the playoffs who just missed out on automatic promotion, be that a Mansfield or an MK Dons. And you've got to fancy that momentum would steer Doncaster through. There's a lot of if, buts and maybes to come before then, but it's just been it's a fantastic turnaround from Doncaster. In particular, Grant McCann, the pressure would have been on him over the winter. There'd have been a discontent around the club. Maybe one or two people considering that they maybe needed a change in the managerial department, but they stuck with him. Credit to the board for doing that. And it's paying dividends now. McCann, someone who has a promotion on his CV as a manager as well during his time with Hull City. So he knows what it's all about, getting teams out of divisions. And yeah, maybe from nowhere, Doncaster could have a fantastic end to the season. I think a couple of months ago, if you'd asked any of their supporters, they'd have bitten your hand off to be in this kind of position.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about League Two in a moment, as I know that you are selecting games from there in terms of your three picks in the EFL. But we're going to start with a Championship. What's your selection for this one, Tom?
Yeah, I've gone for the Hull QPR game, and I fancy QPR in the double chance market, so Rangers to either draw or win the game. Looking at it at first glance, Hull are still in the mix for a playoff place. QPR still have work to do fighting against relegation. But if you delve into the stats a little bit more, Hull are actually just starting to tail off slightly, 6 points off the top six. They've only won one of their last eight games. They're also a side that are better away from home than they are at home. Only 29 of their 62 points have come on Humberside this season. And the same is true of QPR. They're better travellers than they are at home. They've got more points on the road than at Loftus Road. They've only lost three of their last 15 all told in the Championship as well. And since Marty Cifuentes took over at the end of October, they've been really hard to beat. They've gone from being deep in the relegation mire to a few points clear of the drop zone. Now, they would be 11th had the season started when Cifuentes took over, and it'd have, if that was the case, the same amount of points as Hull City. So I think momentum is with QPR. They're hard to beat. I think they can get at least a point from this game.
Yeah, and still need something, of course, to try and help them keep away from the bottom three in the Championship. I did promise you we'd be dropping back down into League Two, and that's where your second selection is, Tom.
Yeah, I've looked at Crawley's home clash with Colchester, and Crawley in one of the surprise packages in League Two this season. There's been a few of them, like some Barrow have also impressed, but Crawley were relegation favourites at the start of the campaign, but they find themselves at this late stage of the season in the playoff positions. They've won eight of their last 13 games all told. Scott Lindsay is doing an absolutely fabulous job in charge. They were beaten away at Wrexham during the week. No real disgrace in that. And prior to that loss in North Wales, they'd won the back-to-back games, scoring four goals in both of those matches against Newport and Mansfield. I think they can beat Colchester in this one, particularly with home advantage. Colchester fighting against relegation. They haven't had the real boost they wanted when Danny Cowley took over at the turn of the year. They've only won two of their 15 games with him in charge. They're coming into this one off the back of successive defeats. And yeah, it's difficult to make a case for Colchester. They're in the relegation zone. They're struggling. And I think Crawley can further consolidate their playoff place with a victory.
So Crawley are the second tip. We're going to stay in League Two as well for the third of the treble. Tom, who are we going for here?
Yeah, I think there's value to be had in League Two this weekend. Another home victory I'm tipping up. This time, Crewe to get the better of Grimsby. Crewe are very consolidated in the playoff places. I don't think they can mount a late challenge for a top three finish. I don't think they're going to get caught and slip out of the top seven. So they should be feeling pretty confident coming into this one. They return to winning ways by beating Morecambe away from home during the week. And their home record is solid, to say the least. They've only lost five of their 21 home fixtures this season. Flipping that the other way, Grimsby are terrible travellers. They, like Colchester, are not safe as well. They could get dragged into the relegation battle. They've won just one of their last six, but they have the worst away record in the division, winning just once on the road all season. That was at Salford. It was a decent victory, in fairness, but one out of so many, it doesn't make for good reading for Grimsby and a very difficult trip to Crewe. I think Crewe will win this game, which might end up confirming their playoff place. And Grimsby, they have to be careful. They're ominously looking over their shoulders, and it could be a really nervy end to the season for the Mariners.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Just remind us once again of your three selections from the EFL this week.
Yeah, so in the Championship, I've gone for, in Hull versus QPR, the QPR double chance, either the draw or the away victory. And then I've gone for a pair of home victories in League Two, Crawley to beat Colchester and Crewe to get the better of Grimsby.
Great, thanks very much, Tom.
Thanks, Warren.
Well, thanks a lot to Tom for his EFL tips for the weekend. We're going to go back to Mark now in terms of his regular Bet Builder trebles and naps for the weekend. And we'll start off, Mark, with a Bet Builder first.
Yeah, so it is on that Monday night game that we discussed earlier on at Stamford Bridge. I'm going to go for over 1.5 Chelsea goals, and that takes out any issues we've got with kind of which Chelsea player is going to make a mistake for one of the Everton goals. It seems likely that they will, judged on recent performances. So they've scored at least twice in each of their last seven games. Some of their attacking play is coming together, and I'm much sort of more confident in their ability going forward than I have defensively, which plays into the other two legs of the Bet Builder. And we're going for a Conor Gallagher shot on target. He's had at least one effort on target in three of his last four games, tends to play high up, for Chelsea with Caicedo and Fernandes behind them. That midfield has been more settled in recent months. And then, he's been sort of Chelsea's player of the season. Cole Palmer, over 1.5 shots on target. He's had 16 shots on target in his last seven starts. I am going to say this. I think he's quite greedy. And he might say, well, it's not worth passing to anybody else in a Chelsea shirt, and he's having to do it all on his own. But if I have one criticism of him, and potentially why Pep Guardiola decided to get rid, he's fairly selfish, I would say. But hopefully that comes nicely for how our Bet Builder, which comes in at about 9-2. So Palmer over 1.5 shots on target, a Conor Gallagher shot on target, and over 1.5 Chelsea goals against Everton.
Okay, that's the Bet Builder then. What about this week's treble, Mark?
Yeah, so it's a over 2.5 goals treble. Newcastle against Tottenham. 25 of Tottenham's 31 Premier League games have had over 2.5 goals. They're top of the league in the overs chart. So there is something they might be able to win this season. And Newcastle, a joint third in that aspect. And then also over 2.5 goals in Brentford against Sheffield United. Newcastle, as I said, they're a joint third in the overs. Sheffield United are alongside them. They're all 71% of their games have gone over 2.5 goals. And then to round it all off, Bournemouth against Manchester United. And United are just chaotic, might be a kind way to describe their displays and their lack of control on matches. Not a huge price treble this week, but I was struggling really. So it only comes in about 2-1, but hopefully it lands. Certainly looks like there'll be a lot of goals in those games I've mentioned.
Yeah, it looks like there'll be quite a lot of goals across the Premier League this weekend when you look at the stats and facts. We're going to complete our roundup on Bets Club this week with your NAP selection, Mark.
Yeah, odds against here, Liverpool v Crystal Palace, second half to be the highest scoring. If you have a look at Crystal Palace, is the amount of goals that they concede. So it was three in the second half against Manchester City. Justin Kluivert got a 79th minute winner for Bournemouth. There was the Chris Wood goal on 61 minutes. Luton got a 90th minute goal. Tottenham was 77, 80 and 88. It was 84 when Onana scored for Everton against Palace. So there's work to be done, I think, for Glasner in terms of the team being switched on for 90 minutes. We know, and it's been discussed a lot this season about Liverpool's ability to score late goals and to keep going. The options they've got off the bench, those options are increasing again with a number of players coming back from injury. And yeah, I'm only going to whisper it quietly, but if Liverpool are a couple of goals in front, they might just try and take a chunk out of that Arsenal goal difference. Jurgen Klopp won't be having it. He won't say it publicly, but I know Jurgen. I know what might be being said in that dressing room. And hopefully if they can, or that the goals can come late.
You won't be complaining if it does finish five or six, put it that way, if that's the case. This is one of my favourite weekends of the year, Mark, because not only, of course, is it a hugely important Premier League and football weekend, but we've also got the Masters, golf, and we've got the Grand National as well. It's a punter's delight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not being sexist here, but I do live in a more sort of old-fashioned household in terms of I'll watch all the sport and the wife will complain about it and she will be doing that no doubt this weekend, but I'm not budging. You're absolutely right. Wall-to-wall football. I'm not huge on the golf, but we've got the golf watch-along on Sunday with Steve Palmer from 7:30, the Grand National, the Aintree meeting. Bring it on.
Yeah, it should be an absolute cracking weekend. Mark, thanks very much for your input into this week's Bets Club. Remember to gamble responsibly and also remember to enjoy your football and join us again next week for more Mark Landon's Bets Club.